Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets. I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, or maybe you could come on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. For our worship service. We have a traditional worship service where we just want to lift up the Lord and that people might be able to rejoice in Him. We also have a weekly Bible study at 7 o'clock every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., pretty much. You know, the traditional way that most churches do things, 10, 11 on Sundays, 10 and 11 on Sundays, and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Now, that doesn't mean that we are ingrained in what the status quo is. If there's one thing that we try to battle against here at Rallets, and I feel confident that the entire congregation is on board with this, we do not want to become so complacent in our pattern and our tradition that we don't leave room for God to work. I want you to know, I believe if the Lord laid it on my heart and we wanted to have church Monday night, we'd come in and we'd have church on Monday night. We wanted to have it at 8 o'clock Sunday morning and then quit for Sunday school and then go back. It just whatever the Lord. That's just kind of the culture. That's kind of the culture that we're trying to develop here, that we are not concerned about the things of man. We want to be concerned about the things of God. And you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful when you say that, because there is so much misinterpretation of what God desires. I want you to know that I'm confident that I'm in God's will when my actions line up with Scripture. The reason I can be confident when my actions line up with Scripture that I'm in God's will is because God's will never contradict what He says in Scripture. We have the mind of Christ, Paul says here in just a few minutes. We're going to be continuing looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the mind of Christ can be held in your hands. Did you know that? By holding a Holy Scripture, by holding the Bible. The Bible is the mind of Christ. It lets us know what Jesus intends for us, the way that we need to live our life, the way that we need to interact with one another, the way that we develop relationships and hold church services and worship the Lord. And for those of us that have been given the gift of regeneration through Jesus Christ, then we're very blessed to have the mind of Christ in the form of Holy Scriptures. Not only that, but we've been given the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. If we don't need to worry about if we're in the will of God or not, if we stay Spirit-led, if we allow ourselves to be prayed up and not being in the flesh. Now, all those words, they just sound so foolish to some folks, talking about being in the flesh or talking about the natural man versus the spiritual man. But now, once we've been given that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and see, even that's going to sound crazy. If you're not churched, I wasn't raised up in church, and so a lot of these things, they do sound like foolishness. And this is exactly what we're going to be dealing with in our Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through the end of the chapter. We're talking about spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. Would you share with me in these verses, if you're able to? However, Paul the Apostle, writing there to the Corinthian church, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Or if King James says perfect. However, we speak wisdom among those who are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Which leads me right into our thoughts that God's desire for human beings that have been saved by Him, you see, salvation is completely a work of God. You didn't do anything in order to be saved. God may have asked you for a display of your faith. God may have asked you to somehow put on display what He had done in your heart. And once you did that, He sends you more confirmation. But we know that God is the developer. God is the initiator of saving faith, that God comes to men. You see, we've got to start in the right position. Seems as if this comes to me time and time again. Not everyone was born to go to heaven. That everyone, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, man, naturally born man, this will be hard for some of you to understand, so I'm going to try to do it the best I can. Naturally born man's eternal resting place is hell and separation from God. That's the natural state of man. Now, what happens to a man that is saved is something supernatural. And God steps into their heart, steps into their lives, and He changes them, makes them become born again. And once a person has been born again, that new creation, that new birth, that new child, no matter what age it is, that new child's destination is different than it was when it was born the first time. Those that are born of water belong to the water. Those that are born of the Spirit will belong to the Spirit. And so the whole eternity for that person is changed. And destination is no longer hell, but the destination is then heaven, to be with God where God is. That is a great truth. Now, what appears to the world foolishness, all these things that we speak of, I'm often confronted with this great task. Have you ever thought about the foolishness of preaching? The perceived foolishness of preaching. Now, for those that have been born again, you're going to understand this completely differently than somebody who is listening to this morning, and they don't know about church things, they don't know about the Lord, they don't care anything about being saved, they'd much rather do everything their own way, and you'd rather spend your Sunday morning recovering from your Saturday night, or you'd rather spend it with your family. You see, even the good things, you'd rather spend it doing all these other things, these other activities. In your mind, you're thinking all those things are good things. All those things are wonderful, and they're encouraging, and they're ways you think to yourself, that's how God would want me to spend my ways. But friend, listen to me. The Satan can deceive you and have you thinking that you're serving God when you're really not. I want to tell you about a man by the name of the Apostle Saul, or the Apostle Paul. His name used to be Saul. If you'd asked Saul, "Saul, are you doing things to serve the Lord?" He'd have said, "Yes, I am." "Well, Saul, what things are you doing to help serve the Lord? What things are you doing to help serve God?" "Well, I'm going out and I'm finding these folks that call themselves Christians, and I'm throwing them in jail, and I'm beating them up, and I'm leaving them laying in ditch lines, and I'm turning them over to authorities, and that's how I'm serving God." Does that sound like somebody that's really serving the Lord? No. But he was completely convinced in his mind that he was doing the things that God wanted him to do. Step in to the Damascus Road. Saul is headed with authoritative papers that declare him legally able to perform this persecution of Christians. And the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shines down upon him. He's born again. God chooses him to leave that path, that destination to hell, and enter into a destination intended for heaven. Then the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Saul, gets a name change and becomes the Apostle Paul. And he's the writer of this letter to the Corinthian church. It would have sounded foolishness for Saul to hear that you are to go out and proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you go out and tell all the world that the Christ of God was found in a man named Jesus from Nazareth, who was a poor man, who was never had anybody but about 12 true followers. He never had a great book written. He never was a great singer. He was never all these wonderful, powerful things. He was never a king here on earth. He was never a great motivator of men here on earth. And we see all those things, and they'd say, "Boy, that's just foolish." But what appears foolish to the world is actually the only true wisdom. There's a huge irony in Paul's calling the gospel foolishness. In Paul calling the gospel foolishness, he doesn't mean and intend that it's foolishness to him. He means and intends that it's foolishness to those who are still dead in their sins. To those of you that have no idea what I'm talking about, or the most of them have probably already changed the tune, but maybe by the Spirit of God working in your heart, something's begin to interest you in what I'm saying. And maybe by the Spirit of God, you're going to leave that radio dial right where it's at, and you're going to take in just for a few minutes some of this stuff that sounded foolish at the beginning is now starting to unravel itself in your heart. It's beginning to intertwine with some things that's been going on in your life, and it's beginning to speak to you right where you are. You're beginning to think you saw the foolishness in the way your granny would go to church every Sunday. It was foolishness the way you watched your mama kneel down by her bedside and pray. It was insane for you the way that your granddaddy would hold hands around the table and begin to call out to a God that you couldn't even see. All those things begin to seem foolish to you, but now suddenly a light is beginning to come on in the darkness of your heart. Something's beginning to change in your mind. Wheels are beginning to turn. Dust is being knocked off mantles that haven't been dusted in a very long time, and maybe suddenly you begin to see that maybe this thing is not foolishness. Maybe what he's beginning to talk about, maybe granddaddy had something figured out that I didn't know. Maybe grandmama wasn't as dumb as I thought she maybe was. Maybe mom and daddy cared a little more about me than I thought maybe they did. And all of a sudden the foolishness of preaching and praying and singing praises unto God, all that foolishness, now it begins to make a little bit of sense, and there's a little bit of truth coming into it. There's a little bit of something maybe now that you understand. Why is it these preachers get so excited about their message? Or why is it that they're so passionate? Why don't they leave me alone? Why is everybody telling me Jesus loves me? Why do I have to hear that every turn I make, every place I go? It seems as if somebody's got that in my face. I see it on bumper stickers and t-shirts. I see it on commercials, and I hear it on the radio, and all this stuff. It seems foolishness now. Maybe it's starting to come alive for me. Well, that's because it's the highest of all wisdom. That foolishness, it's the highest of all wisdom. And I want you to know, it can only be understood by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're beginning to understand something about this foolishness, it means that God is calling you. It means God is drawing you, and God's giving you a window. God's giving you an opportunity. Verse 6 speaks of this wisdom being spoken among those who are perfect or mature. Don't let that upset you. Panic. When you hear you've got to be perfect, panic may set in and you decide you're not perfect. Remember this. Paul is using this word to refer to genuine believers who have been saved by Christ. Perfection comes to human beings only through Christ imputing it to them. His perfection is the only true perfection. So when the gospel message falls upon the ears of true believers, it's the highest of wisdom. It's not foolish or weak. It's the power to save. Amid all the feebleness of the infant church, Paul saw empires vanishing before it. The gospel is the wisdom of God. Friends, an immense evil can be the cause of an immense good. A greater crime has never been committed than was committed against Jesus of Nazareth, because He was the perfect Christ of God. He was the one chosen by God to be the Savior of this world, Emmanuel, God with us. As a matter of fact, it was God Himself in the form of that Christ, taking Jesus of Nazareth and enabling Jesus of Nazareth to be the perfect sacrifice that He Himself required. Now, boy, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But the wisdom of men, the wisdom of this world, is not found only in colleges and universities. It's everywhere. It was to Christians that Paul wrote, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You see, there can be no saving faith through the wisdom of men, because the wisdom of men sees a crucified Christ as foolish. So if all you get today from listening to this, or from your church service, or whatever it may have been, if all you get is an emotional charge, then it's incomplete. It must be our minds that are affected and changed. Who can receive this wisdom of God? Well, I want you to know this wisdom of God does not take away from man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is good, but it's very, very incomplete. And I say that, let me shed some light on by what I mean. I mean that the fact that it's not wrong for you to attain a degree in the universities of humanity. It's not wrong for you to want to be an engineer. It's not wrong for you to want to be a lawyer. As a matter of fact, we could use more good Christian lawyers and Christian engineers and Christian doctors and Christian speech pathologists and all these things. I'm not telling you it's not good to get an education, but what I want you to understand, what I want you to take into heart, what I want you to know that from beyond all other things, that there is a wisdom that appears foolish to this world that is actually a higher wisdom than this world has to offer. There is some learning that comes from God that is greater than the learning that comes from men. And you cannot sit in the ivory towers of the colleges of this world and learn anything truly about God, because the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of God, and that Holy Spirit wisdom is greater than the wisdom of men. You might say to me, brother, some of the most learned men I've ever met would say they don't believe in God. I've listened to the great atheist debaters. I know about all the men who have great educations, and they can tell you about all the reasons why this thing shouldn't be true, but I want you to know that I've met men who can't take a pen and paper and write their name that have more wisdom than all the educated men that this world has to offer. That there is a higher wisdom. There's something greater. There's something better. The world doesn't understand it because to them it's foolishness, but to us it's the power of God to save. That's what Paul wants us to see in this scripture. So who can receive this wisdom of God? Can doctors, lawyers, accountants, construction engineers? Yes, but only through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit does not care if you got $1,000 in the bank or if you owe the bank $1,000. Doesn't matter to Him. This wisdom is imparted to all those who seek Christ. I can say that with confidence. Who can receive this wisdom? The perfect. The perfect. Or better, the mature. Verse 13 says they're spiritual people. Spiritual people. They're Holy Spirit people. Spiritual people are wholly spiritual. Okay? A lot of people that say, I'm very spiritual, they got the wrong spirit. There's a lot of spirits out there. We've got to be certain that the one we're serving is the Holy Spirit. And that testifies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it never contradicts Scripture. That's the test. You want to know if what you're thinking is of God? Go to your Scripture. Ask yourself that. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a miracle given by God. A spiritual person is one who's led by the Spirit of God and bears the fruit of the Spirit. So what did we say? What's the fruit of the Spirit? Well, listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, verse 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, listen to verses 24 and 25 from Galatians 5. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, if I look at the limbs on my tree, and I see this fruit being bore, if I see these things coming to pass in my life, I can have confidence that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. If everything I see is contradictory to that fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, I've got a problem. I need to reevaluate my position before God and make sure that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and not some other spirit. God's wisdom has to do with what you love as much as what you think. So, if the perfect can receive this wisdom of God, and the perfect being made perfect by what Christ has done and not by what they have done, that's what makes it attainable. Perfection is unattainable under your own power. As a divine revelation, the wisdom is given as divine revelation. The wisdom of God would never have been discovered by man on his own. Verse 7 says it's secret and it's hidden. A person's true meaning behind words are really only known to that person. I shared Sunday with my brothers and sisters here at Rallets, my wife's got a kind of a neat habit. If something exciting happens and I've got good news, I can go in and tell Jennifer, I had this really good news today, and she'll say, shut up. Now, that doesn't mean for me to quit talking. She's just saying, I'm excited too. I know the spirit behind those words. Friends, you got to know the spirit behind the words. You judge everything you hear based upon Scripture. I'm not going to lead you wrong here because I'm not telling you anything of my own power. Look at Scripture. A person's true meaning behind words are only really known to that person. Some are manipulative. Some say words that sound good with a different twist to them, trying to get a different reaction. But I want you to know God's love is behind every Scripture. That's His motivation. That's His true meaning, God's love. Romans 2:4 tells us it's the goodness of God that draws men unto repentance. So what is this wisdom? Well, it would take eternity for me to answer that question. But I want you to think about this. Think about a loving father that had a son that's on a long journey. He knew that son was going through trials and tribulations and heartaches and despair. And so as he begins to make preparations for the return of his son, he lays out all the things that he knows that son loves. All of his favorite foods, all of his favorite people are gathered. There's a wonderful resting place for him there. And when that son returns, he welcomes him with open arms. If you're a child of God, he's prepared a place for you. And if he prepared that place for you, he's going to come again and return and bring you to where he is. Christ's not forgotten you. He'll take all these trials, all this hard journey, and He'll use it to bring glory to Himself. In that, you will be an instrument for God. So let the world call it foolishness if it will. We know it's the power of God. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for the opportunity to be able to know the true wisdom of this world. To be able to know, Father, that what the world might call us as foolish is truly a revelation from You. And Father, in that, we give You great thanks. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.